I'd rather be like I was able to do last night and sit and listen. But I'm thankful to be back in Webb City again. And my hope and prayer is that the Lord will meet with us and that He will minister to each and every one of our needs in this meeting. And I would like to share with you just a little bit about the Lord's dealings with me for this meeting. You know the first part. Brother Ed was scheduled to be here, but he had some serious health problems and was not able to come. And the second part you don't know about, and that's what I want to share with you, is about 4 to 5 weeks ago, I was there at home and I was praying and looking to the Lord, and the Lord dropped the thought for this meeting on my heart. Now, I had no idea that I was going to be in Webb City or that would be holding a revival here. In fact, I had been praying about going somewhere else for a revival, and I thought when the Lord dropped the thought on my heart that that's what He was doing. And so I began to pray about it and pray about going there, and it seemed like every time I prayed, the Lord blocked it. And I finally came to the point that I recognized that that's not what the Lord had in mind. And so I just thought, well, maybe it's for another time, and I just kind of put that thought in the back of my mind, and I left it there. And then a couple of weeks ago, when Brother Dan called me, and he told me about Brother Ed not feeling well, and he asked if I would start praying, if I would be willing to pray about coming. And I didn't tell him this, but my first thought was, that's 2 weeks away. I don't see how there's any way I can do that. With everything we had scheduled and all, and I thought, I just don't see, but I didn't tell him that. I told him, I said, I'll pray about it. And so I went to prayer, and I began to pray and look to the Lord. Lord, what would you have? And the Lord brought that thought back to my mind again that He had dropped on my heart. And as I prayed about it, I felt like the Lord let me know that's what He had for this. And so I called Brother Dan back, and I told him, I said, well, if I can get things worked out, I had some meetings there at work, and if I could get those worked out, then I would come. And I went to work, and I was talking to one of the guys that I was going to be meeting with, and before I even was able to talk too much about it, he told me, he said, you know, something came up, and I've got to go out of state, and he was wondering if they could change. Do you know, dear ones, God knew all about it. In the next meeting that I had, it was no problem on that, and I say that to say this, dear ones, our God, His ways are so much higher than our ways. He knows exactly what we need, and He knows before we need it, and He knows how to work. And so I'm thankful for that this morning, and I appreciate the blessings of the Lord. And I'd like to write the thought that He's given me. For those of you that may not be able to read what I've written the words, the will of God. That's the theme that seemed like the Lord has laid on my heart. And that's what He dropped on my heart when I was about what I was telling you about. And I feel like that's what the Lord has for this meeting. And so you're going to hear me mention it maybe several times. I believe that understanding the will of God is one of the most important things that we can have in our lives, especially in the world that we're living in today. There is so much wickedness. There's so much evil. There is so much confusion. There is so much deception. There is so many fears and doubts and unbelief and all that that is prevalent in our world today. And dear ones, we need to understand the will of God in our lives. It touches every aspect of our lives. In fact, there's not a single place in our lives that we can afford to be outside of the will of God. You'll see some of that as we go through this meeting, but as the Lord wills, but I'm going to just give you one example. You've all heard what's been happening over there in Israel. And those people were living their lives just like you and I live ours. They were going about their daily routines. They were going about things. Some were doing one thing. Some were doing another. Some were in their synagogues praying. Some were out at a concert. Some were sleeping. All these things when tragedy hit, and then their lives were forever changed. Some of them, their lives are over. Dear ones, this is why I say there, we cannot afford to be outside the will of God in any area of our lives. And I'd like to look at what Webster defines as will. You'll find that Webster has many applications of the definition of will. And one, he said, is used to express desire, choice, or willingness. Another is used to express capability or sufficiency. It's used to express determination, insistence, persistence, or willfulness. It's used to express inevitability. It's used to express a command, an exhortation, or an injunction. It's something that is desired, and it says a choice or determination of one having authority and power. A disposition to act according to principles or an ends. There's many other definitions, but I stop there. When you begin to consider God, you will find that God expresses His will in all of these ways. Sometimes it's a desire. Sometimes it's a command. Sometimes you'll say, well, it's just inevitable. This is the will of God. I can't change that. It's just the way it's going to be. Sometimes the Lord will express His will in other ways that it happens. But it's always according to principles of truth. It never deviates from that. And it's always according to an end. The will of God is always for one purpose for you and I in our life, and that is to get you and I to heaven. As I mentioned, there, with all of these definitions, there's many ways that you and I could look at the will of God. And there's no way in this meeting that we could discuss all of the avenues of the will of God. But this morning, I would like to consider God's desire for mankind. And Webster said, if you look at this, one of the definitions, it said something desired, especially a choice or determination of one having authority or power. Now, I imagine that every one of us in here have desires. You've had desires, and you have desires now. Desires for yourself, desires for someone else. And no doubt, all of us would really like to have those desires fulfilled. When you look at those things, that's why we desire it. We would like for that to be fulfilled. But most of the time, it's not within our power or ability to be able to bring that to pass. You may desire something for someone. Maybe you desire them to have a job or a promotion, or maybe there's someone that you say, my desire is I'd like to see them get a good companion. They're such a wonderful young person, and I would really like this for them. Perhaps maybe your desire is for somebody to be healed. And our earnest desire, our will, is for that to happen. But we do not have the power or ability to just say, and it's so. That's just not the way man is. But it's different with God. For example, I want to give you an illustration that came to my mind of man, and I'll use myself. Some of you may have heard me tell this. I may have even told it here before. I don't know. But when I was a young boy, I longed to be able to fly. And I'm not just talking about airplanes. I longed to be able to fly like a bird. And I remember my brother and I, and we would be there on the farm, and as we were working and as we were playing, and we'd be watching those birds, and they just so effortlessly just glide over there. And we thought, you know, it'd be so wonderful if we could fly. Well, we could get from one end of the farm to the other without walking all that way. We could get up into the barn loft. We could even get up on the barn roof. We could go down, and we could fly over the woods, and, you know, we'd go down there, and we'd sit and hunt and hunt and hunt for squirrels and deer and things like that, and you couldn't find them, and, well, it'd just be so nice, you just fly over, and there they are, and you just, you know, you get it and go home. We had all of these reasons, and we had all of these good ideas of why that was a good idea. And so, finally, one time we decided, you know what, birds can fly, why can't we fly? We just have to set our minds to it. And so we just decided, okay, we're just going to do it. And so we got up on the cellar roof and we flapped our arms until we hit the ground. And so we decided, well, that's not going to work. So what we need to do is we need to build us some wings. Now, that should have been our first clue that God didn't intend for us to fly because we didn't have wings. But we took and we went and we made wings and we strapped them and we got them. And we decided, now, we got to have our mindset to this. We got to believe that we can do it, and we can do it. And so we jumped off that cellar roof until we hit the ground. And we flapped those wings. Well, after a while, we decided, you know what? We just need a higher perch. Because the cellar was only about 6 feet off the ground. And we decided that what the problem is we can't get up enough momentum to get airborne. And so we need a higher perch so that we can do that. So we went to the barn loft. And I'll never forget, I remember as we were sitting up there and we were looking out the barn loft. And we were looking at that and we thought, ooh, that's pretty high. Now, if I don't fly, I could break a leg. But see, you can't think about that. You can't look at that. If you're going to fly, you've got to have it in your mind that you can do it. Well, I don't remember if our better sense prevailed or if we went ahead and jumped. I can't remember now. It's been too long. But the only difference between the barn loft and the cellar roof was that we had farther to fall and you hit harder when you get there. Now, dear ones, young people, I want to encourage you. There's a valuable lesson in this. The enemy of your soul will take and he will present ideas and suggestions and desires that you can come up with all kinds of reasons to say, this is why we should be able to do this. This is a good idea and this should work. But I will tell you, sometimes it may not be the plan of God for your life. You see, what happens is when you begin to go that path and you begin to do those things and you begin to find that it's really not bringing the satisfaction or the accomplishment that you really desired. Do you know what the devil's next step is? Is you need to go a little farther. You need to go a little deeper. You know, you've just been kind of, you just need to settle it. I'm going all the way. Do you know what would happen if we hadn't have stopped after the barn loft? The next thing is a cliff. Because you see, the barn loft is farther, but it's still not far enough to learn how to fly. And if we'd have jumped off the cliff, by the time we recognized, you know, this is not working, it would have been too late. And you know, that's exactly where many people are at today. They have listened to the suggestions and the ideas of the enemy until it's too late. And they recognize, you know, this is just not working. The reason is, dear ones, is because that just because we will something to be, it does not change the situation. You see, God never intended for us to fly. If you had, he'd have given his wings. And regardless of how much we desired that to be so, it didn't change that fact. See, God could have done it. I don't know why God did not create you and I to fly. But can you imagine how different our world would be if everybody could fly? There would be millions of people up there floating around in the air and darting here and there. I think about people today. Do you know people get, they get kind of upset when you invade their space? When drones begin to go over and hover over somebody's house, they get a little upset. Matter of fact, one of the guys we were just talking at work just here recently about drones, and somebody was talking about them and how they fly over and they can just look at everything. And he said, I've got a shotgun for that. If it flies over my place, he said, see, people don't want that. But can you imagine if God had made us to fly? Brother Dan, when you get off of work and you go home and you sit in your back porch and everybody's buzzing, hey, what are you doing down there? See, there would be nothing, would there? You parents, they've got little children. If you think those little toddlers can slip away real quick, can you imagine 2 and 3 year olds flying? And you're like, where'd they go? Do you see, dear ones, I don't know why God didn't make it that way, but God had a purpose in what he did. And God revealed in his word what his purpose was. And if you look over there, there's a scripture I want to get over here in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Somebody quoted it this morning. Isaiah, the 43rd chapter in the 7th verse, he said, everyone that is called by my name, he said, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him Yea, I have made him. Dear ones, God had the power and the authority to create us any way that he wanted to. He could have created you with wings. He could have created us with four legs. I could hear some of the parents say, oh, I can barely get enough shoes to feet to put on them now. What if they had four? They had more. Look at this. You know, he could have taken and given us three arms. But Dan, I'm sure in working in cars, there's been a lot of times you thought, if I just had one more hand, I could do this. But God didn't do it, did he? Do you know, God could have taken and put eyes all the way around our heads, and we could have seen 360. And you say, well, I can think of so many reasons why that had been an excellent thing. But I can also hear some teachers and some parents saying, no, that's not a good idea. I can barely keep little Johnny and Susie focused on the task at hand. They don't need to be seeing what everybody else is doing. Do you see? We can come up with all these ideas and say, well, this is the way it should be. But God, in his wisdom, created you and I just like he did. And he did it for a purpose, and it's because that he wants us to glorify him. Instead of changing everything to suit me. You see, I see this will help me. Lord, help us to have a greater appreciation of the wisdom of God. Lord, help us, dear ones, to have a greater understanding of the will of God, because God created every one of us for a purpose. And he wants us to be able to do his will. I'd like to look. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, the only way that you're really going to find true happiness and success is doing the will of God. That's the only way you're really going to find true happiness and success. I'd like to look over in Genesis, the first chapter. And I want to notice what it says. I think we're all familiar with this, but it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It didn't say Curtis did. If Curtis created them, I'd have wings. But I didn't do that. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Dear ones, I believe it is very important that you and I be reminded often of the wisdom and of the power of our God. Because I'm afraid too many times we take it for granted that most people just understand that God created all of this, the heavens and the earth. And we just assume that it is a settled fact or a settled truth, and that everybody knows that. But I'm going to tell you, like a lot of settled facts or truths today, Satan has been able to get in and infiltrate the hearts and minds of people until they begin, like Adam and Eve, to question God's word. And today, many not only are not fully convinced in their own minds that God created heaven and earth, but they're not fully convinced in their own minds that the other things that God said in his word are really what he meant, or that really is necessary, or that is really what he intended. And so in their minds, they're just not there. And it's because the same thing that happened to Adam and Eve, Satan has got in and began to create questions in their mind. Well, I don't know. Did it really happen that way? Do you really think that God created all this, or did it just happen to evolve? I want you to notice what it says here. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Do you know, dear ones, there have been people all down through time who have tried to prove that it didn't happen like this. But they have never been able to definitively prove that they've come up with these other ideas that man just evolved, and he evolved, and this big bang happened, and all these other things, and then that stopped, and man just became like he is today. But you know, there is no proof that they've ever been able to find to say that all those things happened, and that is still illustrated today, that you can say, you know, there's a difference between a theory and a fact. Is a theory is an idea of, I think this is what happened. But a fact is it's repeatable. You can prove it. It's something that has been established over and over. Do you know, in all this theory of evolution, they've come up with this theory, but it's not still happening today. And you look around and you can't see it. Now, if you say, well, man's still evolving, I'm going to tell you, I don't feel like that man is evolving and getting better and better. If you look at our creation, if you look at mankind, I'm going to tell you there's times I think it's going the other way. You look at what's happening in our country today. There's more people living on the streets like animals in unsanitary conditions than there ever has been, seems like. There's people that are living like heathens, like we used to take when we were children. We felt sorry for these people that grew up in these undeveloped countries, and they had these big holes in their ears and all this war pain, and they cut themselves, and we felt sorry. Somebody needs to teach those people. And yet you look around in our nation today, and what do you see? You see all of these things. There's so much confusion and chaos and all the things that are happening to the point, dear ones, that people don't even know what they are. Some people think they're a man and they think they're a woman and vice versa. And some of them think they're both. And I look at this and I think, where in the world does all this come from? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, if you tell me that man is still evolving, that's not a higher form of intelligence to me. It seems like it's going just the opposite. And so that's why I say you cannot find anything today that proves this theory of evolution, that it's still evolving and man's getting better and better. But I'm going to tell you, on the other hand, when you look at the biblical account of creation and the fall of man, and you see what the Bible says, you can see evidence of that still today in our world. For example, let's go on down here, and I want to look. In Genesis, the first chapter and the second verse, it says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moved upon the face of the waters." God took something that was without form and void, had no structure, had no order to it. It was just without form, it was void. Nothing of beauty to look at. And God took that, and it said the Spirit of God moved upon that, and He made something beautiful out of it. Do you know we could spend the rest of this meeting talking about all the creation that God has done? And we could tell every one of us of places we've been and the beauty, and it just would almost take your breath away sometimes, and you just see it. And we could do that, but that's not where I want to go. I want to focus on how God created this. If you go on down here in this ninth verse, it says, "And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the water together the waters called He seas. And God said it was good." Now, when you look out upon creation, you can still see that today, can't you? It's still there. It didn't change. It's not stopped. It's still there. If you go on down in the 11th verse, it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed," and He goes on, "and the fruit and its seed," and he said for it to continue on. And when you look out at our creation today, why do you have to keep mowing your grass? It just keeps growing. There's seeds that produced, and it just produces more grass. You look at the herbs, and you look at the fruit and all of that, and what do you see? You see creation continuing, do you not? Let's go on down a little bit farther. And in the 20th verse, and it says, "And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature and the light that have life, and the fowl, that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament." And then He said, "And God created great whales and every living creature." And it goes on. And what did God tell him to do? He said, "Be fruitful and multiply." And so what do you see happening today? You begin to see the fowls of the air and the whales and all the other animals out there. They're multiplying, aren't they? They produce seed and then they go. And what you're seeing is creation in its beauty continuing on. He goes right on down in this 24th verse, and He talks about the cattle and the creeping things and the same thing. And He told them there, He said, for it to replenish, to go on, to produce those things. And you see that. Then down in the 26th verse, He says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Unlike everything else that He created, God gave man a choice. of whether he would obey him or disobey him. The commands that he gave him a choice. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's that choice that is the reason that our world is in the condition it's in today. And we could go on more, but maybe we'll touch that another time. What I want us to focus on here, dear ones, is that God gave mankind the same instructions that he gave the rest of his creation. It says in this 28th verse, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." Now, he goes on here and he gives them additional instructions. But what I want you to notice is that when you look at this, the biblical account of creation is still going on just like God created in the beginning. Unlike that theory of evolution that all these things may have happened and may have come to pass, did this, but then they're no more. Now people are like they are and it never happened anymore. The biblical account of creation happened just like it said, and it's continuing, and you can see the evidence all around us. Now somebody's going to say, well, Brother Curtis, what about the actual start of that creation to begin with? Yes, I understand there's man and there's beasts and there's animals and all these things, and they reproduce, and that creation is still continuing. But what about that initial thing? Well, let's look at it. Let's look at this 9th verse again. It said, "And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." How did God create all that? He said, "Let it be," and it was so. Now let's go to the next one. In the 11th verse, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed." And then it goes on, and it says, "It was so." And you see, I could go right on down through these again. But you notice the pattern of how God created all this? He spoke it into existence. He said, "Let it be so," and it was so. Now, dear ones, that speaks volumes to you and I of the power and the will of our God. Unlike man, God could will it to be so, and it was so. You see, all these things God created by saying, "Let it be so," and it was so. Now, you talk about awesome power. That's an amazing power. But you know what, dear ones? It never stopped. Do you realize that that same power is the same power that caused the flood in Noah's time? God said to Noah, "Build this ark, and here's how you do it. And when you do that, you get in it, because I'm going to flood this earth." And it was so, wasn't it? It happened just like God said. It's the same power, dear ones, that parted the Red Sea for Moses. God came to Moses and he told him, he said, "This is what you do. You stretch out your rod over this, and I'll part the waters." And it was so. It happened just like that. When you look at Joshua, it's the same power that parted the Jordan River. You see, God told Joshua, "Here's what you do, and here's what you have the priests do." And when they did it, it happened just like God's. It was so, wasn't it? Do you see, dear ones, a pattern here? When God says something to do, if we do exactly what he says, it is so. It's the same power, dear ones, that spoke those words to Peter when Peter was there in the boat, and Peter said, "Lord, if it's thou, bid me come." And he said, "Come." And what did Peter do? He walked on the water, which no man has ever been able to do but Christ. Do you see, it's the same power, dear ones, that as we read in Sunday school this morning, that said to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth," and that which was dead was restored to life, and he was able to walk forth. It's the same power, dear ones, that was able to take and those that were sick and those that were lame and those that were blind and halt. When the Word of God said, "Let it be so," it was so. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's the same power that uttered those words on the cross that said, "It is finished," and it has changed the lives of many ever since then. And dear ones, it's the same power that is working in our world today. Unlike all these other theories and ideas, this is the same power that is working today. What was it the Apostle Paul said? I want to look down here. There's a scripture in Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 8th verse. Paul said, "Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." Dear ones, What I want you to understand this morning is the same God that spoke this world into existence is still speaking today if you and I will just listen. He's never stopped. That same power that created all this has never stopped. He's still working miracles. And we could take and we could begin to go around and tell of all the miracles that God has done. But I'm not going to take time for that this morning. It's the same power that does that. And dear ones, this same power is still creating new creatures. If you go and look at 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, in the 17th verse, the Apostle Paul said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? He is a new creature. He said, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Dear ones, the creator of this world is still able to take something that is without form and void, something that Satan has ruined and sin has ruined, and he's able to take and make something beautiful out of that. Do you know, dear ones, it was never God's intent for his creation, for mankind, to get into the mess that our world is in today. It was never his intent for sin to wreck people's lives like it's wrecked him today. It was never God's intent for mankind or for our society to be in a state of that is void and without form, without order, without structure. God never intended that. And I mentioned earlier, there's so many ways we could go with the will of God. But I want to encourage you, dear ones, if you look into the Word of God, you will find that God reveals His word, His will for your home, for your family, for your marriage, for the church, for society, and there it's never in any of that is it without structure or order. You'll find that God within the Word of God has given distinct commandments and distinct instructions of how, as husband and wife, as mother and father, as a church, as society, how we are supposed to function, and there is complete order and structure to it. But what you see in our world today is because people have gotten away from God. Do you remember what I said? God has always, He gave man different than the rest. If you look at the rest of the creation that God created, it's still functioning just like God said. The only thing that He gave the choice was man. And you look at the choices that man has made. And I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it has caused great heartache and trouble because of the choices that people have made. Let's go back now to Genesis, the first chapter. And I want to look here in this 26th verse. In Genesis, the first chapter, in the 26th verse, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Do you see, dear ones, this is how God created man. And this was God's desire for man. He created him to be pure and holy, to have power, and he created something very beautiful. And this is what his desire and his intention was for mankind. And when he finished, if you look down here, when he finished, he said, he looked upon his creation. And what did he say? It was very good. Now I want you to think about that. The creator of heaven and earth that created all the beauty that is out there, that created all the things that are out there. And when you look at it, the wonder, the amazement, it blows your mind to think if you look at the body and how it's created and all the things, and you look at the trees and all the, I mean, you could spend a month just taking a tree and looking at all the things and what God did with that. And you think about that. And the one that created all this, when he looked upon mankind, he said, it was very good. Did you get a hold of that? He said it was very good. Now, you and I can take, and we may question in our minds, Lord, why didn't you give me wings? Lord, why didn't you give me another hand? Why didn't you do this? And why do we function this way? But when you go back to the Word of God, what you're going to find is God in His Word said, it was very good. Now, we can take and second guess his design, his intentions. We can take and try to modify this and that and change these things in our life. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, we would do well to stop and consider what is the will of God. And what is the will of God? What was the scripture that we read back over there in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter? He said, "And I have created him for my glory." This, dear ones, is God's desire for our lives, is that you and I would. He said here, "I've created him for my glory," that we would glorify him. Oh, you know, dear ones, if you and I, if people in general could just only understand the will of God, his desire for our lives, and focus on doing his will, it would change everything else that we deal with in life. It would change our way of thinking. It would change what we do, everything. Let's look at it. There's a scripture over here in 1 Corinthians that I want to look at. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter and the 31st verse, the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 10, 31, it says, "Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense." And then it goes on, neither to the Jews, to the Gentiles. Now, why would God not want us to give offense? Does that give glory to God? It doesn't, doesn't it? Do you see? You take a parent. Does a parent get, are they pleased? Does it make them happy when their children are over here quarreling and fighting and fussing? It doesn't, does it? But when those children are getting along and everything's going well and they're doing things, the parent looks on and they're saying, "Oh, you know what? They're just getting, it just makes them happy." Do you see, dear ones? This is what God's intent was. And when you take and you look at this, he said, "Whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." So what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, the things that you do, how you act and react, the places that you go, what did he say? He said here, "Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." You know the difference in the will of God and the spirit that's working in our world today? The spirit that's working in our world today is focused on what? Me. When you look at the styles and the fads and the fashions and all those kind of things, what are they designed for? To glorify God? They're designed for me. How it makes me look. How it makes me feel, how it makes me comfortable. Do you know all of those things? It's all about me. And so when you look at this, this is what the world is looking at. How many times have you taken and heard someone say, "I don't really care what anybody else thinks. All I care about is how it affects me." You may have said that yourself. You see, sometimes that's the way the flesh is. "I don't really care what you think about it. All I care about is, does it make me comfortable? Does it make me happy?" Do you see, that's the spirit of the world that's working all around us, is they're focused on me instead of bringing glory to God. Now, do you see why I said that if people could take and simply understand the will of God and focus on doing His will, it would change how they look at everything else? I'm going to tell you something else to do. It'd change a lot of problems in a world. It changed a lot of things pastors have to deal with, because most of the conflicts and most of the strife is because somebody's focused on me. And so you look at this, it says here, "Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." What did the scripture tell us? He told us there what our duty was and what God's will was for us. He said, "I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Do you see, God created us for a purpose. And this is why it is so important for you and I to understand the will of God. Because if we understand the will of God, it changes how I look at all the things that I'm doing. Because now I'm not just doing these things because it affects me. You see, when we really understand God's will, it not only affects what I do, where I go, what I eat, what I wear, all those things, but it will do that. But it also affects how I look at how God created me. Do you see, whether I'm a male or a female, my race, my ethnicity, my structure, whether I'm tall or short, whether I've got brown hair or black hair or blue eyes or whatever. Do you see, when I really see God as He is, and my desire is to do the will of God, then it changes how I look at all those things. Because when I look at this and I say, you know, God created me the way He did for a purpose, and I recognize that, then if God created me as a male, why would I want to try to be a female? Or vice versa. If He created me with black hair or brown hair, why do I want to make it blue? Is it because I'm doing this to give glory to God or to bring attention to myself? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, it's not very hard to figure that out. And the reason that so many people in our world today are constantly wanting to change things is because their focus is on me instead of giving glory to God. And I'm going to tell you, all you have to do is go back and begin to look into the Word of God. And you know what it'll do? It'll show you where that leads. It'll show you where it started. It started with Adam and Eve. And I'm going to tell you, this me focus has caused nothing but heartache and trouble all down through time. It was this me focus that caused Cain to kill his brother Abel. Because you see, he was focused on me. It was this me focus that caused King Saul to take and pursue after David, because where was his focus? It was on me, wasn't it? It was this me focus that caused King Ahab to slay Naboth, because what did he want the vineyard for? To give glory to God? Do you think God would have been glorified for King Ahab to kill Naboth so that he could say, God, I've got a vineyard here for you? No. Just like one parent would not be glorified if one child did something terrible to the other one to say, look what I've got for you. You know what, you young people, you could take and you go out and one of your siblings go and they go pick a bunch of flowers and they bring them in to take them to their mother, and you could knock him down and take those and say, here, what I've got. You think your mom's going to be happy with that? No. Do you think God was happy with what King Ahab did? No. It wasn't at all. Do you know, when you look at this, it's why Ananias and Sapphira held back part of the price? It's because they were focused on me. I'm going to tell you, dear ones, this is the reason that many people are holding back and giving their all to God. It's because they're focused on me. This is the reason, dear ones, that Judas betrayed Christ. It's the reason that the scribes and the Pharisees were jealous of Christ, was because they were focused on me. I'm going to tell you, we'll bring it right down to home. This is the reason, this me focus is why that there is so much trouble and strife and problems in homes, in marriages, in, yes, congregations, in our society, in our world today, is because too many people are focused on me instead of what God created them for and what He desired of them. And that was to give glory to God. I want to go back. I want to look at another scripture in Psalms, the 19th chapter. God created everything He did for one purpose. And you will find that in all the rest of His creation. If you look at Psalms 19 and 1, the psalmist said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. When you go out and you look at all the beauty of creation, what are your thoughts? Man, that tree was so smart the way it just reproduced. Do you do that? When you go out to the mountains and you look out and you just say, man, those rocks, I don't know, they're pretty smart the way they just formed themselves. Probably doesn't occur to you, does it? What it does is when you go out and you look at all these things, they give glory to God, doesn't it? And you know that's exactly what God intended for mankind. He intended for you and I to give glory to Him. Why? You know, it's not really too hard to figure out. It's because man will never be truly satisfied until he gets his eyes on something other than himself. Have you ever watched somebody that's self-centered? They're never happy, are they? They're never really successful because all they're focused on is me. Do you wonder why so many people have hurts and all the things that go with it? It's because they're focused on the wrong thing. They need to be focused on what God has. And so when you look at this, dear ones, God created man to glorify Him because that's really the only place that we're going to be satisfied. Let's notice again what He said over there in Genesis. Genesis, the first chapter in the 28th verse, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Do you know, dear ones, when God created all these things, He gave man the power and the dominion over all of this. And why did He do that? He did it, dear ones, because He wanted you and I to be able to not only enjoy all these things, but to use those, and that those things might help us to lift up praises and glory to God. Because I'm going to tell you, that's where that secret is. Do you know what God told them there is no different than He's been telling man all down through time? If you go over and you look at Israel, what was it that God told Israel, told Joshua? When they were fixing to go into the Canaan land, remember, he told them this was a land of milk and honey and figs and grapes and all these things, and it was wonderful. Why did God do that? Why didn't He just leave them in Egypt? If all He wanted for you and I was to have troubles and problems and all of that, why didn't He just leave us in Egypt? Because He wanted to deliver us out of that bondage, and He wanted to bring us to a place where He could take and bestow all of His creation upon us, so that you and I, as we begin to partake of this, can say, oh Lord, You're such a wonderful God. Do you ever take, when the Lord comes down and He works something and you're working on something and it works it all out, do you ever stop and say, oh Lord, thank You for helping me with that? Do you see, that's why God does that. When you can't find your keys, or you youngins maybe don't think about that, you don't lose them like we do. Or something else, and you take and you say, Lord, I don't know. I've lost this. I don't know what to do with it. And when the Lord just inspires you and you go right over there and you pick them up, what do? You say, boy, I was sure lucky on that, wasn't I? No. That's what the world does. See, they're focused on me. But when God does something for us, it's for a purpose that we can glorify Him. Because that's what really brings satisfaction. Do you know when He gave them this, and what He told Joshua was, He said, every place that the sole of your foot treads upon. What did He say He's going to do? He said, I'll give it to you. It's yours, as I told Moses. Do you know the reason for that? Because God wanted Israel to be able to experience and to be able to enjoy all the things that He created for them. But you know what happened? Israel, just like Adam and Eve, allowed the enemy of their soul to come in and to trick them into focusing on me. And you know what they did? Everything that God had provided for them, they forfeited it. And you know, dear ones, that's what a lot of people are doing today. There's a lot of people that are focused. They've been listening to the temptations of the enemy and the desires that he puts in their hearts and minds through all the advertisements and all the other things, and he presents all this stuff out there, and it's appealing, and you think, well, there's a good reason. I could do this and that and all of these things. And what the devil does is he says, you know, it don't really matter. God doesn't care. That's really not God's intention when he said that. Don't partake of those things. Do you see? Just like we came up with many excuses, any came up with many reasons why it would be good to fly. You know, the devil can come up with many good reasons of why you should do what you do. And he'll tell you, God wants you to be happy. Now, can you argue with that? I'm going to tell you, dear ones, that's the biggest fallacy that the enemy is sailing. You say, well, wait a minute, you just said God wants you to be happy. He does. But He did not create us to be happy. He created us to glorify God, because that's what's going to make us happy. If you and I do like the world and we're focused on making me happy, we're never going to reach the place that God has. And that's what you hear over and over and over in our world today is, I just want to be happy. Well, if you really want to be happy, you better leave yourself alone. You better get it out. I'm going to tell you, when I hear people say, I just need some me time, it makes me cringe. Because it makes me think, yeah, you've probably got some problems in your marriage. You've probably got some problems in your home. You've got problems here and you've got problems there. Because what you need is some me time. What they really need is more of God. Because when they get more of God and they begin to focus on Him and do His will, I'm going to tell you, that's where you find the peace and joy and the happiness. But what the devil is doing is he is focused on got many people focused instead on themselves. I want to look at a scripture in John in closing. In John the 6th chapter and the 38th verse, John 6 and 38, you'll find where Jesus came to show us the will of God. And you know what he says? He said, for I came not to do mine own will, but the will of the Father. Do you see what Jesus did? His focus was not on my comfort. It was not on what I'm doing. He said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of the Father. And then if you go down through here, what do you find him saying? He said, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him might have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Do you see the will of God, dear ones? The will of God is for you and I to be saved. That's his will. And the reason for that is because that's the only way that you and I can truly bring glory to God. And that's the only way that you and I will truly be happy, is for you and I to take and give her all to God. Do you know, I mentioned earlier that the enemy is getting so many people today, just like Adam and Eve, just like he did with Israel. He's getting their focus shifted off of what God's desire and his will is for their life, which is to glorify him unto me. And it's robbing them of the joys of salvation. Do you know what salvation was intended to do, dear ones? It was intended to restore to you and I everything that God created in heaven and earth for mankind. I want you to think about that. Man forfeited everything when Adam and Eve sinned. They lost the right to everything that God created because of sin. Salvation was intended to restore to you and I heaven and earth. The blessings here and the blessings that He has over there. God intended to restore all that to us through salvation. But I'm going to tell you, the problem is too many people today are making the same mistakes that have been made all down through the generations of man. They've listened to the enemy, and because of that, they focused on themselves instead of God. Dear ones, my burden this morning is that we understand the will of God. What His desire is for our life. What we need to do is we need to ask ourselves, am I really partaking of all that God has for me? Am I enjoying all the blessings that God has provided for me? Or have I taken, and like many others before me, I've allowed my focus to get off onto something else than pleasing God? And thereby, I am taking and I am being shortchanged of all that God has. Do you know? You know what the homeless are doing in our world today? You know, they could have homes. They could drive cars. They could do many of the things that you and I do. You say, but they don't have anything. And the reason most of the time, not all, but most of the time, is because of choices that they have made. See, all I want is this marijuana. I want this drug that makes me feel good. I don't care about working. I don't care about anything else. If you go out and you listen to the statistics today, the majority of the homeless problems has come because of drugs. Do you see what I said earlier? God gave man a choice, and that choice has led to heartache and trouble all down through time. Dear ones, may the Lord help us this morning. Our purpose What God designed us for is to give glory to God. If you and I will focus on that, that's where you and I will find the greatest peace and happiness in our lives. I desire your prayers that the Lord will help me to keep my focus off of me and on God. But I want to challenge you this morning. If you're here this morning and you're really not enjoying the blessings of salvation, you say, I'm saved, but I'm just having a hard time. I just can't do these things. I want to encourage you. You need to go back and begin to examine what you're really focused on. You may have gotten saved, but you may have allowed your focus to drift on what's me. Do you know, I'm laying a foundation here this morning. You bear with me, because this is, sometimes the Lord gives messages in revivals and they're all different. And sometimes He builds on one after another. And that's the way I feel like the Lord's leading here. But I'm going to tell you, dear ones, you know what? You can be saved. And you can do everything right. But if your focus is on, I'm doing this because what everybody else thinks, you're going to miss out on the joys of heaven. Do you know there's been people who have been preachers, they've been other things, and they've focused and they've done everything, but it's still all about me, and they've lost out in the end. Because after a while, they just gave it all up. Do you see, what we have to do is we have to crucify the flesh, and we have to come to the place of acknowledgement, Lord, I want to give you glory out of my life. And when you do that, that's where you're going to find the peace. Appreciate your attention this morning.